On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Decades ago, independent agents all were truly independent. They were small, one-location entities, not truly affiliated like they are today with other firms. But starting in the 1980s and clearly accelerating since 2000, agents are combining forces as never before. Some are being purchased by other firms, while others are doing the buying themselves. And these days, we have private equity money as well as private brokers involved in the buying. And thousands of agencies are in networks as well. All sorts of them and all sizes of models are in use today. So which ones will succeed in this new marketplace? Thank you for joining our On Point podcast brought to you by our friends at Insurance Journal. I'm your host, Peter Van Aartrijk, and here to talk with us about these topics is Rob Liebling, who I've known a long time. He's with Alera Group. Welcome to the podcast, Rob.
Thank you, Peter.
I know you've been advising agents and brokers for years. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background, and then we want to get into Alera Group and some of the other issues.
Sure. So I've been in the insurance consulting business for close to 25 years, where I primarily worked with independent firms on both growth and key strategy issues, mostly around organic growth and then growth through acquisitions. Through that process, I obviously worked with some of the large national firms, both public brokers as well as national firms that are backed by private equity firms. And over the years, we began to see a trend of consolidation taking place in the industry. And back several years ago, a group of my clients had approached me about, what is the next stage of the industry? Where is it headed the next 5 or 10 years? And that's ultimately what started the conversation that ultimately led to the formation of the Alera Group.
Okay. And for those that can check this out while they're listening, it's aleragroup.com, A-L-E-R-A group.com. And Rob is the chief development officer there. Rob, tell us, okay, so the trend of consolidation taking place in the industry, and I think the clients that approach you, as you said, know your background, know what's going on. These are savvy people. What is different? Well, tell us about Alera Group more specifically and how it's different than, even better maybe than some of the other networks or aggregators or clusters. Or I know these terms often carry baggage, and I don't mean to do that, but there's so many different models out there, and how is yours different and better, perhaps better?
Yeah, so Alera Group, the foundation was a group of 24 independent firms who were either employee benefits and or property and casualty or a combination thereof, who had a loose relationship through a membership in a group called Benefit Advisors Network, which was a consortium of independent firms, about 75 firms across the country, and the platform for Benefit Advisors Network had built a platform of services and resources that allowed smaller independent firms to compete with large national firms. But I think what these 24 firms realized is, whether it's Benefit Advisors Network or whether it's UBA or whether it's Assurex, it's sort of a volunteer army. And, the business itself, the insurance industry, continues to change pretty dramatically. And they all recognize that size and scale was important. Independent firms don't have the resources to go acquire all the most recent, tools and gadgets and technologies that are out there. Yet none of them were interested in selling to a large national firm or merging with another firm. So they approached me about how could we potentially all come together and form a single firm. And the elevator speech, for lack of a better term, was to build a great company through a culture of collaboration and have fun doing it. And I think the building a great company was really the premise of the whole thing. In other words, there are many of the large firms that do a lot of acquisitions, but they don't integrate. They don't build national platforms. They try to share some best practices, but by and large, it's an aggregation of balance sheets and income statements. And our the goal of these firms were to come together and truly build a great company that consisted of a national platform that was administered regionally, that could be delivered locally. The culture of collaboration then fell into place because we had 24 owners. And as just trying to merge two companies together, you have an industry where you have a lot of people who are very successful. They have strong ego drive. And we recognize, or they recognize very early, that, you know, people are going to have to check their egos at the door. There's going to have to be a leadership team. And because of the relationship with Van, there was a fundamental underlying of collaboration among firms. So we adopted loosely based off of the a strategic book called The Collaborative Way, about how we were going to work together, how we build things is from the bottoms up. In other words, the people in the field are putting together ideas, strategies, and so forth, and building them upward and putting them on regional platforms and then putting them on national platforms. So it's a big difference between what most of the large national firms were doing. And then we also added something that was extremely unique to the marketplace, which had never been done before, and that is what's called a distributed equity model. And, you know, based on my experience working with, you know, many of the large firms across the country, one of the things that tends to happen is after a sale, after an earnout, whether it's owners or whether it's people who did not have ownership, begin to think, this is not what I signed up for, because the financial incentives are not aligned properly. So we set up a distributed equity model, and the best way to sum that up would be the day before we closed, we had 24 firms and 56 owners. The day after we closed, we had one firm, 250 owners, who all had the same ownership and the same stock that everybody else owned. And we had, of these 250 owners, was out of 750 employees. So one third of our employees right now have ownership in the Alera Group. And as we've brought on new partners, that opportunity to spread the ownership throughout an organization exists today. So it's a very unique model from that standpoint. And I think it's been very attractive as we've spoken to potential partners, the ability to say, this is a way I can reward some of my key people, not with just giving them a check at closing, but by giving them equity, which obviously can gain great value over the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Okay. So, Rob, you've seen this concept of platform before, and you mentioned regional, national platform tied together. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by platform? What are the components of this platform?
The components, when you talk about a platform, I'll just start at a national level, could be technology. So technology systems that can basically plug and play at a local level. It could be resources. So for example, a medical directors that sit at the platform, but they're put in different regions in the country. Safety consultants who, again, part of the national platform, but they may be dispersed throughout the country so that they can be accessed both regionally and locally. So we're building those types of resources, whether they're people costs, or what I'll call third party costs, again, technology or whatever solutions, other consultants in the industry that our people have access to, and there's a consistency in the approach of what Alera does, so that people on the East Coast and people on the West Coast are truly adopting best practices. And I guess to take that a step further, we have work groups that work throughout the country that have different people throughout the country on it. We probably have about 20 of them right now. They are looking at everything from client communications to RFPs to CRM to financial incentives, to say, what do people have in the field and what is truly a best practice, and try to get all the firms to adopt what really is best. And that goes back to the collaborative way. So again, it starts at a national basis. I mean, it starts bottom up, but it's national, but can be, administered regionally and delivered locally. And to us, that's what's key. So it's an integration of services and capabilities throughout the organization.
Okay. Does These firms have, do they have traditional agency management systems that are also combined, or how does that all work? Because that's a huge expense for agents. You know, I think it's second to payroll is the cost of a management system.
Yeah, we up front, and I probably should have taken a step back. Alera Group was in the formation for 2 years before we announced it to the public. And so we identified, and all the partners bought off on, there were four areas that we truly were going to integrate as a company. So that was technology, which would include CRM. It included finance, so accounting, commission accounting, et cetera, marketing, and human resources. So we are building, again, a single platform for all those items, which is in process. Probably the first one that we will implement, which will be 1-1, would be the you know, payroll, the accounting, the ones that can be driven more from a pure technology standpoint. Things like CRM probably will be implemented in a 6 to 12 month time period, because there's not only conversion costs, but we have to find the right platform, potentially have two platforms based upon whether it's employee benefits or property and casualty. But we clearly expect to have, you know, an integrated platform in those four areas.
Okay. So I have lots of questions about Alera, and maybe we'll have time to get to them some more. But I wanted to ask you, Rob, because you've been, like I mentioned, you've been around a long time working with agents and brokers. And what do you see in a broader sense with what's happening in the marketplace in terms of agents combining forces, the change in consumer, the impact of InsurTech? It just feels different this time with what's going on. Do you share that view? And what would you say to agents listening who aren't partnered? Maybe they have a different approach, but what would you say to the listeners who may be looking at some of these trends and wondering themselves what how to position?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll talk about first the kind of the consolidation that has taken place. I think it's driven at two different levels. I think the first level is sophistication and, for lack of a term, value-added resources, including technology, is greatly changing the insurance distribution world today, whether it's employee benefits or whether it's property and casualty or whether it's wealth management. That is forcing firms who historically could be extremely successful and being, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, it's forcing them or putting them in a competitive disadvantage in many markets, because size and scale really matters. Throw on top of that the entrance of private equity into the business. And they've been in the industry for a number of years, but, you know, over the last, you know, five years or so, we've seen what used to be, you know, a handful of private equity firms to close to 25 private equity firms now actively involved in the distribution model. And the, you know, private equity loves the insurance distribution model because of recurring revenue and low capital expenditures. The model, though, really requires firms to grow above just an organic growth rate. So at Alera Group, you know, we historically, the 24 firms have averaged somewhere between 8 and 10% organic growth. But in the private equity world, you need to be looking at, you know, doubling your size every 3 to 5 years. And because of that, and because of the issue of firms, you know, needing size and scale, not having the money to invest in all the resources that they like, I think you've seen a real push toward consolidation over the last few years. And we've hit a point in the market cycle where valuations, I would say, have not peaked, but they're at an all-time high. And I think this is a plateau that will continue for the foreseeable future. And so that in itself is driving part of the consolidation as well, because, you know, people who are looking, you know, say maybe 2 years, 3 years down the road are saying, you know, we should take advantage of this opportunity now because we're not sure what the market's going to look like down the road. I think in whole, before I get to InsurTech, I think technology is greatly changing the industry. it's almost like insurance has been the last industry to really adopt, you know, what you can gain through technology. I think that initially started, to be honest with you, in the employee benefit world, where technology is a big driver. It's beginning to spread more and more into the P&C world, and I think that's where you see, you know, insurtech popping up. I forgot the last recent number of the amount of startups and the amount of money invested, but clearly, insurtech is a potential disruptive force. I think it's going to initially focus more at the carrier level and work its way down through the distribution level, but, you know, there has to be a way to drive, you know, claims management efficiencies out of the system. And you need that because at the end of the day, you know, loss ratios at 100%, particularly given where the investment environment is not enough to fuel the growth and profits and capital that are needed at the insurance level on a go-forward basis. Again, I think the insurance companies are very well capitalized, but they barely touched the whole concept of what could come out of insurtech. But I think we'll start there and it will work its way down through the system. And I think it'll probably work more quickly on the benefit side because I think you can touch the consumer more directly on the benefit side of the business. So when you start talking about smartwatches and apps and everything else, I think insurance companies will be finding a way to underwrite risks at the individual level much quicker on the employee benefit side than you will see on the property and casualty side. And you're already seeing that with some of the things when Hamilton sold to AIG, when Brian Duppault became CEO, you know, they're involved with a high tech PE firm called Two Sigma, which is all about, you know, using technologies and applications to simplify and drive efficiencies throughout the distribution system.
Yeah, and one trend that I know is for successful agents and brokers has been the diversifying into more than just property casualty and even more than just commercial lines, sophisticated commercial lines, getting into, as you mentioned, benefits and wealth management. Is this doing that, though, I suspect you need to know what you're doing from a regulatory standpoint and best practices and just compliance. There's so many things to worry about. Do you think P&C alone is just not going to cut it in the future for agents?
I think if you have a niche business, I think obviously P&C can lead and, you know, e-benefits. I'll just give one very simple example. If you're in the surety bonding world, you know, you do not need benefits. But I think overall, you know, the P&C world is somewhat, I wouldn't call it stagnant, but it's such that growth is hard to come by. You go through market cycles. You're in a 7-year soft market, and then you have a 2-year window or 3-year window at max with a hard market cycle. That I think firms to continue to grow at an organic growth rate that's greater than, you know, 4 or 5% need to be able to diversify it. And I think what's happened is, again, as all the PE firms have entered business and you're seeing more multi-line firms out there, I think the ability or the need to have a full line of services and products for both an offensive and defensive perspective is going to be critical. We at Alaire actually did the totally opposite of what everybody else has done in the marketplace, and that was we decided to lead with benefits. So our firm was more heavily tilted to the benefit space than the property and casualty space. We felt that there were a lot of P&C firms who maybe had 10-23% of their revenue in the employee benefit space and were really struggling with, you know, where do they take that business? So we kind of provided an instant solution on the benefit side. And we knew that because of the number of P&C firms that we would be able to attract P&C firms that, you know, also want to build out a national platform on the property and casualty side. So we totally took the different approach in the marketplace, and, you know, 5 months into it, I would say the market's received it very well, and we've had just as much interest from from property and casualty firms as we had from employee benefit firms.
Yeah, I've heard so often agency owners worried about getting into the other lines like benefits, health insurance, life, et cetera, because they just look at it as a, maybe it's just not a lack of understanding, or they don't want to irritate their commercial accounts, or they know they're only giving so much business.
It's a lack of, it was a lack of scale and a lack of talent, which then made it very difficult for a P&C agent to say, please come into my account. And that's what made cross-selling so difficult in the past. I mean, even banks found that out when they got into the insurance industry. So again, our approach, and we spent 2 years, you know, formalizing this before we went to went to market. This whole concept of collaboration was key to it. So, you know, we were bringing in top talent, and we were introducing P&C people to employee benefit people across the country before our deal came together. So day one out of the gates, there was a high level of comfort and confidence in all sides of, you know, our business, which really consists of, you know, employee benefits, property and casualty, and wealth management. And we have seen some very good results there. But that's hard to do if all you're doing is, you know, again, I'll go to some of the larger, if all you're doing is buying firms and not integrating it, you still have those barriers that you have to overcome. And that was, again, one of the things that we were trying to solve as we were thinking about what is the right business model for the Alera Group.
Let me just quickly return to that distributed equity model you're talking about, Rob. It's pretty interesting. Kudos to you guys for hammering the egos out of these people, because that's a lot of what you see, as you describe, to the point where some of the owners who are leaving or selling, and you mentioned the earn-out period, are perhaps looking at this, you know, they might think their firms are worth more than they actually are, which happens, it happens quite a bit. When they get into the valuation process, some of them are quite surprised. But even if they're not surprised, even if they are well-run firms, how is the distributed equity piece a better deal as opposed to the earn-out process?
So we have a business model that takes us out 10 to 15 years. Pretty concise for the first 10 years, 10 to 15. There's obviously just variables that could take place in the marketplace that could change it. So what our owners believe, what our founding partners believe, was that when they received equity in the Alera Group, you're just making up a number, and they took 20% or 25% of that equity and gave it to other members of their firms who were not equity holders. The reason they did that is they believed in the concept of how our business would work, as with any private equity firms, and that is, you know, our stock's worth a dollar day one. We fully expect that within 5 years that we will recapitalize our business. Our current capital partner is Genstar Capital. They will want to exit the investment, which at which time we will find another investor. And so that 75% that the owner held on to, when we exit out, we think our return is going to be 4x. So for every dollar you invest, you'll get 4x in return. That number will be much greater than if they had kept 100% of their firm and we just done a traditional earnout. And the goal would be within 10 years to do another recap, you know, and maybe the return won't be a 4x, but it will be a 3x. The math actually gets pretty silly. So they bought into the concept that they'd rather hold a smaller piece of a much, much bigger pie than just having, you know, a large number and basically no equity, you know, going forward. And so it was actually a very easy sell, and we do that. Mm-hmm. We've closed two transactions since then, and we've set up the same thing for those firms, and expect to continue to do that for all firms that become partners with Alera.
Yeah, a smaller piece of a much bigger pie is that leap that you see so common in business, right? Where you get together and say, you know, I have the whole pie now, but it's going to stay pretty small unless I make a move. So Rob, where you mentioned 24 firms? Is that what you have? They got together.
Yeah.
Is that where you're at today, or are you
yes.
expanding?
So
okay.
On January 2nd of this year, of 2017, we had 24 firms. We now are up to 26 firms. And within the probably the next, by the end of this year, we would probably be closer to 30 firms, 30 to 32 firms, which is a combination of employee benefit firms that where we don't have an existing location, or property and casualty firms where either we don't or we're trying to establish a footprint.
Okay.
Is our focus for 2017. Our goal by the end of 2021, so 5 years out, you know, that we entered the market at about $160 million in revenue, and that we would be at $500 million in revenue at the end of 2021. So triple in size within that time period, and potentially do that even within a shorter time period.
Okay. The benefits business has been really impacted by what's going on with health insurance. What has gone on with health insurance? Still pretty strong revenue potential, though, right? With benefits, with different size groups, because all the other things. I mean, obviously, still involved with health insurance, but there's other things that they need, right? So that's not going to change. That's going to be still strong in your view. Sounds like.
Yeah, we think the market as itself to be a consultant in the general term benefit world is a market that's going to be there for a long time. So whether that becomes group distribution, that you know, which is primarily what you have today, whether it's fully insured or self-insured, or whether it's even at the consumer level, individual plans, we believe there's a great opportunity. So one of the things that the Alera Group did is we actually have one of the largest platforms for individual insurance in the country that is growing tremendously quick. And so that if the market would take a quick shift and begin to move away from group more to individual, we're positioned throughout the country to succeed in that market space. And I think that's, again, one of the unique things that we're trying to do to differentiate ourselves in the marketplace, where a lot of firms have been afraid of that. You know, what may happen, we kind of embrace what's going to happen in the market. And feel we're positioned, whether whatever happens regulatorily, you know, politically, that health insurance in general is a good space to be in. And honestly, has never, the research that people have done is the industry never, ever had a year where it shrank. And that includes, you know, the 2008 through 2010 great recession that we have. So it's a pretty strong industry to be in, where you've never had a dip in the market.
Okay. Well, Rob, I thank you very much for taking some time to be with us today, and look forward to seeing more from Alera Group.
Thank you, Peter. And if anybody has any future questions, please feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.